All right. If I could get everybody's attention. We're going to get started this morning. We're going to continue the series that we've been focused on of That's Not What I Ordered. And as Jason's preparing to come up, I just wanted to review a little bit and go over what he started last week. So what we're talking about here is that concept, that idea that you get into marriage, you're past that infatuation stage, you're past the honeymoon stage, and all of a sudden you're sitting here and you're going, wow, I didn't really order exactly that. You know, I ordered that. I ordered that meal, but I didn't really order all the specifics that came with that meal, right? It's like you went to get a hamburger and you said, I really didn't order onions with this hamburger, but I got them anyway. And you got to deal with it because you've already gone through the drive-thru and you're at home. Right? Anybody been there? So that's what we're talking about. So what we're looking at is we all feel that way. I mean, there's probably not a one of us in this room that says, man, I got exactly what I wanted. I got exactly what I ordered. This is perfect. My spouse is the perfect spouse. I live in a world of perfection. It's wonderful for me. If it is, you can just go ahead and take on off and enjoy the day because this isn't for you. But for the rest of us, we want you to be encouraged because we're all there. We're all in that spot. It doesn't matter whether it's, hey, I wish my spouse wouldn't work quite as much, or I wish that they would be different with the kids, or what it may be. There's a spot that we're all at that we get to that point where we say, that's not exactly what I ordered. But what I want you to think about is what Jason talked about last week, that God has you in that spot for a reason, that he puts you there. And rather than looking at your spouse and trying to determine, well, how can I change them? How can I make them into what I ordered? How can I scrape the onions off the burger? Right? Look at them and say, look at it differently. Look at it from God's perspective. What's God trying to teach you? What's God trying to do in your life? How is he trying to grow you? And that's what we're going to be talking about. And Jason showed us a verse last week. It's Ephesians 3:20. And let me put my glasses on because I'm getting old here. But Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read it out of the ESV. This is what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And one thing that I keyed in on from there last week is according to the work that is already within you. So God's already doing a work in you. He knew that your spouse was going to be this way. He's already at work in you. And so you can take hope that even if it's not exactly what you ordered, God's got a plan for it. And he's going to take care of you. And he's growing you. He's building you into something. It's that two becoming one. And the one that you're becoming is much better than the one that you already are. And so with that, Jason's going to come up and continue his series on That's Not What I Ordered.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning, everyone. You are not alone. I feel sometimes like that's not what I order. I have a wonderful wife. You guys have the privilege of seeing her and interacting with her, and there is much joy in our marriage, but I would be flat out lying to you if I didn't express that there are times when I wake up and I say, man, that is not what I ordered. That's not what I expected. Things look different when we were dating, when we were engaged, and now it's just not the same. Around the area of organization, which you guys know, you tease me all the time, and you know how I'm wired in that area, but you know, I thought that it was going to be just like when I grew up. The house was always going to be in order. Everything was always going to be in its place. If something didn't have a place, there was a place for it. It was called the garbage can. And that's just how I grew up. And everything was in its place. And sometimes I look at Bridget and I say, that's not what I ordered. Financially, I knew that I wasn't great at finances, but I knew that I married a wife that was way smarter than me. And I thought, well, this is awesome because this whole balance thing, right? She's going to balance me out, and I'm not great in finances, but she's really smart. And even if she's not great in them right now, she'll be able to figure it out, and she'll probably own that piece of it and take care of it, and we'll be great. But it didn't end up being what I ordered. I look in the area of service. My wife is a giver. She's incredibly giving and nurturing and great at taking care of the family. Well, when we were dating and when we were engaged, the family or soon to be family was us. So all that giving and nurturing and taking care of was all focused on me, right on me. That was awesome, right? Everything was coming my way. Anytime she felt like serving, I was the recipient of that service. Well, then you add to the mix when we were dating a dog, child one after we were married, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And suddenly I start sliding down on the totem pole, or so it feels. And I wake up and say, you know, when we were dating, you used to do all these little things for me. And I feel like I don't get much of that anymore. That's not what I signed up for. That's not what I ordered. And if I went around the room and I asked you for your story, each of you would say in some way, in some area, be it big or small, you would say, that's not what I ordered. That's not what we ordered. We all feel like that. Every single person in this room feels like that to a degree. Every single person in this room includes the person that's sitting next to you. Did we think about that? It's easy to say collectively, oh yeah, all of us, we say, that's not what I ordered. But if I was sitting next to Bridget, I would be thinking, yeah, I can internalize that. That's not what I ordered. And then you all, I'm sure you all feel like that about your spouse. How quickly I forget that when we say we and all, that's like, us all, and that's the person that stands on the other side of the room that's sitting next to you right now. You are not what your spouse ordered. That's humbling. Told you it was going to be a tough series. So the question is, who did your spouse order? And why are you not the person that he or she ordered? So this morning, we have to do something really hard. We have to look in this. We have to look in the mirror. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. When we see other people, we can judge them on the physical, on the outside. But when we see ourselves in the mirror, it's much deeper than that, right? It's harder to look in the mirror. I mean, not only is my forehead getting bigger and I'm thinning up through here, my nose is still as big as it was when I was a kid. Not only do I have those physical attributes, but I see deep down into myself and I don't like what I see sometimes. And when I look at myself, I recognize that that's not probably what Bridget ordered. A few months back, I asked you guys a tough question and I ask it again because I think it's a really important question for you to be asking throughout your marriage. Are you becoming the spouse your spouse wants you to become? I'll say it again. Are you becoming the spouse that your spouse wants you to become? In other words, are you growing in a way, maturing in a way that you are becoming more like that person that your spouse wants you to become as you grow together? Or are you becoming less like that person your spouse wants you to become? And the most important question is, how do we do it? Sure, we can look on the surface and we can talk about all the things that we think our spouse wants us to become. So our spouse, when we were younger, we were in shape, you know, fit as fit can be, and our spouse was probably hoping we'd stay fit. When we were dating, our spouse was a servant, and we, our soon-to-be spouse, had a servant's heart. We want them to stay that way. We can look at all these different outside elements. When we were dating, when we were engaged, things look like this. But the question is, how do we become, what does our spouse really want us to be? And deep down, whether we recognize it or not, what our spouse really wants us to be is a man or a woman that pursues the Lord. And everything else is just a manifestation. It's just the output of what happens internally. The chronicler put it like this. We need to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Change comes from within. Your spouse is looking for the change that comes within you. Your spouse may be looking for perfection. They're not going to find it. At least mine is not. They're not going to find perfection in you. Perfection can only be found in Christ. But they're looking for you to be moving in the direction. We'll use a big church word here. Sanctification. We're looking for you to be sanctified, in the process of being sanctified, becoming more and more like Christ as you get older. That's what your spouse is looking for. And you can look at all the noise around organization, finances, in-laws, all of those areas, and you might find a problem in those areas, but they all really come back to what's happening inside of you. Because we have to remember that the only person that we have 100% control of is us. The only person. So what does God say about if I want to seek after him? What does this look like? How do I do it? James put it this way. Talk about some things to avoid, sins to avoid, things not to do. And then he transitions with this word, but. But, all this bad stuff, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pause there. Be doers of this book. Be doers of the word of God, not hearers only. There's a big difference between someone that has a lot of knowledge and someone that has a lot of wisdom. Knowledge says, I know what this book says. I can spout off a bunch of verses to you. I won the Awana Prize. Woohoo. I know a lot about this book. But wisdom says, knowing is not what's going to make a difference. Wisdom says, I'm going to take what this book says and I'm going to apply it. I'm going to use it. We tend to enter what I call firefighter mode. We're humming along in our marriages. We're cruising along and all of a sudden, catastrophe, whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like, maybe for where you are right now. Man, that's not what I ordered. Boom. Everything comes to a screeching halt. This is not what I signed up for, not what I'm looking for. And we react. And sometimes if that's an issue within our marriage, so say there's a conflict and we're not interacting well, we never had conflict or it didn't look like this before, we never felt this weight all of a sudden. So we enter firefighter mode. We react. We throw on the suit, find the address, say a prayer, and run out the door. Firefighter mode in Christianity is, okay, all of a sudden, I'm not doing well in my marriage. So what do I do? Now I turn to the book. Put out the fire, please. So I frantically look back. Okay, it's got to say something. We're concordance. Okay, husbands, wives, come on, throw me a bone, Lord. What does it say about husbands, wives? What does it say about marriage? My kids, I never expected this. What does this say about parenting? And I start flipping through the pages, looking at the verses that have to do with kids and marriage. The problem with that is that's not how God created this book. If we want our marriage to be better, we don't just focus on the 15 or so verses that specifically talk about interacting with one another in your marriage. In the broad scheme of things, there's not that many verses in this book that talk about marriage, because this book is about life. And one sliver of life is marriage. This book tells you how to interact with people in general. One of those people is your spouse. The firefighter goes, fix my marriage. The wise person says, I know what to expect in life. It's going to be hard. So I'm going to prepare for it by finding out what God has to say. That's what studying God's word does. It allows you to be prepared for the expected, not for the unexpected. You follow what I'm saying? Like, we could say all these things are unexpected. Oh my goodness, that was a surprise. That was a surprise. Really? It's not. A lot of these things that happen to us in our marriage are expected. They're going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And the question is, are we going to enter firefighter mode when it happens? Are we going to prepare ourselves for the expected, which is going to come? If you've never had a conflict, it's coming. If you've never felt like you're important anymore to your spouse, it's coming. If you've never been disappointed in your spouse about something, the amount of time they work, the amount of time they don't work, the amount of time they watch TV, it's coming. All of these things are coming at some point. So are you going to be prepared for that, or are you not going to be prepared? But the change comes from within. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just sit here on Sunday and listen to me. Folks, Sunday is not enough. Sunday is not enough. You need to be pursuing the Lord on your own. If you are going to become the spouse your spouse desires for you to become, if you don't, you're deceiving yourself. If you don't know what the word says and become a doer of the word and a hearer only, you're deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Sometimes your spouse can be a mirror. Sometimes your spouse can allow you to see something, a blind spot in yourself that you otherwise wouldn't see. And if you look into the mirror and then walk away and forget about it, you're being a fool. You're acting like a fool. You need to say, Lord, help me in this area, change me. Guys, we would never wake up in the morning, look at ourselves after we got out of bed, all nasty looking, drool coming out of the side of our mouth, hair sticking up, unshaven. We would never, something in our teeth. We would never look at ourselves and say, it's good enough for the work today, and head off to work. We wouldn't do that because we know that there needs to be a change. So if you look into the mirror and you see something, recognize that there needs to be a change. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty gives us freedom. There's freedom that comes from the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The scriptures prepare us for life. Part of life is your marriage. I couldn't plead with you more. I couldn't share any more deeply my desire for all of you to be in the Word of God. There are multiple ways that you can be connected to the Lord. You can sing worship songs. You can be in prayer. You can meditate on the goodness of the Lord. There are lots of ways. But one critical way is to be in the Word of God. And I cannot ask you enough. I cannot plead with you enough that being in the Word of God will change your marriage. Learning what God has to say about you will change your marriage. My house isn't organized. I get frustrated because that's not what I ordered in Bridget. But you know what the Word of God tells me when I look in the mirror? That is more out of my desire for my image to be good, that when someone comes over our house, that it looks impeccable, that people think, boy, the Getzes have it all together. That's me. That is not her. That's me. When I look at our finances and I think, oh, Bridget, you're so smart. You could figure this out. You know, I figured you would be better than this. You could handle this one. The Word of God reminds me that I have control issues, that I want things with a nice wrapper on it. I want to be able to know exactly how much is there, be prepared, always be able to handle things. I want to control. That's me. That's not her. It's me. When I look at the acts of service and I say, you know, at the beginning, Bridget did all these things for me. It was wonderful. You know, I was like the center of attention. I always felt like she was doing things for me. But the Word of God tells me that that's my selfishness. That feeling of that's not what I ordered in about Bridget is not about Bridget. It's about me. And when I look into the mirror, I recognize that I want Bridget to serve me because I'm selfish. And the Word of God has a lot to say about my selfishness. So am I going to look into the holy and perfect and true Word of God as looking into a mirror and work on me? Or am I going to spend my time working on her? Which is really what it's not about. So what do we do now? What do you do now? How do you walk away from this? Look into the mirror. That's not what I ordered is being said by you and him and her sitting next to you. Are you becoming the spouse your spouse wants you to be? And the way that we address it is by looking up. The vertical relationship sets the horizontal relationship. I can sit there and say till I'm blue in the face, that's not what I ordered. But until I begin to unpack it and recognize that that's on me, not on her, nothing's going to get resolved. It's really me. And at the end of the day, it's down to my relationship, my walk, my faith, my belief in truth. This relationship sets the bar for this relationship. The vertical sets the horizontal. Is it just a Sunday morning thing for you? Are you taking the time to invest? I could give you example after example. I could keep you here until noon telling you accounts of how I recognize that it was about my relationship with the Lord. It, all these little tiffs, spats, issues, it's my relationship with the Lord, not my relationship with Bridget. But we make it personal, don't we? It's usually not a personal thing. He's not after you. She's not after you. The relationship with the Lord is struggling. As we move forward, I would encourage you to consider what this book says about your life. What is God calling you to do? Stop looking out and look in, because the vertical sets the horizontal. Imagine what it would look like. Imagine what it would look like if instead of investing your energy on saying, boy, if I could, maybe if I just start cleaning the house, she'll get the picture and clean it too. Imagine if, you know, if I started getting back in shape, she would get in shape too. He would get in shape too. If I just kind of nudged them, or if I said the right thing, if I could just change them, everything would be better. But what if it's us that needs changed? What if it's our relationship with the Lord? Imagine if you invested that energy in you. And then once this was established, it would set this. Let's pray. Father, it's so easy to point at the other person. It might be have been a little shocker this morning even to sit here and recognize that I was so busy thinking about me that I forgot that he feels the same way, she feels the same way, that that's not what they ordered. But Lord, if we are going to become the spouses that our spouses desire for us to become, Lord, it starts with you because the vertical sets the horizontal. Father, would you allow us to leave this morning not be hearers, just hearers. Father, help us not just to walk out and be like, that was a cool message. Spot on, Jason. Great job. See you next Sunday. Let the Bible collect dust. Father, would you change within us the desire to pursue you? And Father, allow us to enter into your word together. Father, we desire that our marriages would honor you. But Father, we can only do that when we invest the effort and the time to put you first. Lord, give us the strength to do that. And we ask this, we plead this in the name of Christ. Amen. A few questions. Do you agree with today's point that the vertical sets the horizontal? Why or why not? If you don't, you can skip number two. If you do, share an example from your marriage where the relationship with your spouse was just an indicator of what was happening between you and the Lord. I gave you three in my own life. And then finally, share some practical steps that you have found to seek the Lord in his strength, as the chronicler did. Whether that's, and I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but spending time walking with other Christians, being in community, special things that you have done to enter into God's word. Has something made that easier for you? Have you used an app? Be specific. What are some ways that you've been strengthened in your walk? Enjoy your time. Thank you.